topic, when cares overwhelm us and what to do. Let's open our Bibles to Philippians chapter 4, verses 4 through 8. Philippians chapter 4, verses 4 through 8. Philippians chapter 4, verses 4 through 8. Would you read with me? Rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say, rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of a good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which we have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do. And the God of peace shall be with you. Worry, concerns that challenge us. Worry has become our national pastime. It's a national obsession. We don't have to have a relative in combat overseas somewhere to worry. We are a nation of warriors. We worry about everything. Yes, parents worry about their children. Adult children worry about their aging parents. Some people worry about their finances. We do. And health issues. And we worry about what others think of us. Hospitals and doctors' offices are replete with people who have physical problems brought on by overwhelming anxiety. Doctors have to tell patients, I see nothing wrong with you. Go home. Stop worrying so much about something. See, when we worry, we overeat or undereat. We get depressed. We lose sleep, or we sleep too much, and have an uneasy anxiety about life in general. Is worry necessary? Psychologists say more and more worries are not legitimate. Consider the following. 40% of our worries never happen. It's all in the mind, and it's a result of a tired mind. 30% of our worries concerns past decisions that cannot be changed. If it cannot be changed, let it go. 12% of our worries centers on criticisms by others meant to make us feel inferior. Beloved, no one can make you feel inferior unless you allow it. 10% is related to health, which only worsens as we worry. 8% of our worries, according to psychologists, are legit, showing that life does have problems which can be met head on when we eliminate senseless worry. Jesus had a sermon, and he went on a mountain. And when he was set, he said these brief but comprehensive statements. Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat, or what you will drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more important than food, and the body more important than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. The object lesson. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Which of us, by worrying, can add to your stature, add to your life, add to our church membership? None of us. Unfortunately, it is one of the pastimes of the believers in the household of faith. Believers are not exempt from worrying. We try to hide it, and we call it concerns. But in reality, worry is a secret sin for believers. Not only is it a needless sin, but it steals our joy. And the like joy stealers, when Jesus has said, I have come that you may have life and have it more abundantly, St. John 10:10. We want to discover how we can be victorious over anxiety and worry. Philippians 4 tells us, and Paul gives us all the solutions in Philippians 4. What is worry, you say? I'm just concerned about it. I'm not worrying about it. Worry means to strangle. The biblical word for worry literally means to be torn apart. Worry comes when our minds are one way and our feelings and our emotions are another and start pulling us in different directions. For example, the mind thinks about the problem. Our emotions wrestle with the problem, creating a vicious cycle and wrecks our emotional state. Our minds tell us, don't worry. But our emotions, if uncontrolled, stirs it up, and we do worry. Well, in Philippians 4, Paul gives the key words. Rejoice. Again, I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known. The Lord is near. He said, don't be anxious for anything, but in everything, by prayer, by supplication, by petition, and with thanksgiving, present your cares to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and keep your minds on Christ Jesus. And then he says, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if there's any excellent way, think on these things. So what is peace? Peace is that treasure that we get only from God. Well, to conquer worry, Paul said we must conquer three things. One is prayer, and you knew I was going there. The right kind of prayer. Here in 2019, let us develop a stronger prayer life. How much have you prayed these first 5 days? We must pray. We must pray. We must pray. How often do you spend time in prayer? Paul tells us if we are to keep worry at bay, we must first not be anxious about anything, and second, go to God in prayer. Too often, prayer is viewed as the last resort. We try to fix, mold, and mend people or the situation. Sometimes people come to us with something, and we say, oh, really? When did that happen? Really? Oh, my, where do you work? Oh, I know somebody who works there. And then we start trying to network. I'm going to make a phone call for you. I know somebody. But that's not the way it is. And then we fall into the problem. It did not solve. What do we do? We say, let us pray. But it's too late. We must go to God at first with the problem. As Paul writes to the young church, there's a formula that you should use for an effective prayer life. In this context, it's adoration. Adoration with the idea of praise and worship. Years ago, they used to call it, let's pray. But before they prayed, they lined out a hymn. And Isaac Watts, some of you are too young to remember that. And they start singing this song, and the church comes alive. And then we pray. That's adoration. And that's what Paul is talking about. Because we are worshiping God through song, adoration, and praise. The key to overcoming worry is focus on God. Yes. Through worship, listen to the words of the psalmist. He said, I've never seen the righteous forsaken. Why are you worried? His seed doesn't beg for bread. Then he says in 23, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Psalms 18:1 says, I call to the Lord, who is worthy of praise, and I'm saved from my enemies. So whatever the worry is, we need to first go to God and not at the last resort. You know what? Paul gives us an example. He tells us to petition God. This carries with it the idea of sincerely asking for our help. Stop the networking. Go to God with what causes the anxiety. And then say, he said, give thanks. Give thanks. Give thanks. Thank God for what he has done. Listen to this. Let the peace of God, Christ, rule in your hearts. Since as members of one body, you are called to peace and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom and with all psalms and hymns and spiritual songs and gratitude in your heart. Colossians 3:15-16. It takes faith, my friends, to thank God when you're full of worry and concern. A lot of faith. But through that thanksgiving and prayer, we demonstrate we are taking our worries and problems to one who has wide shoulders and the one who can control all things. Now, a biblical example of that was Daniel. Remember Daniel? Daniel didn't care what the courtiers said. Daniel prayed 3 times a day. When they went to the king and got the edict, and the edict said, we're not going to pray to anybody but the king, Daniel still opened his window and looked toward Jerusalem, and he still prayed. It takes faith to do that. But Daniel did that. And the God of peace helped him to overcome the king. And guess what? He even got a promotion. So, you know, take the example of Daniel. This year when we are facing a time of anxiety, when we are burdened with worry and it does come to us, why not follow the example of Daniel and the lessons of Paul and offer up the right prayer, one that is filled with worship, petitions, and thanksgiving. To overcome worry, we must have the right kind of praying, but we also must have the right kind of thinking. Thoughts are powerful, my friend. Thoughts are powerful. Verse 8 say, whatever things are true, whatever things are lovely, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, let us think, be concerned about these things. If we want to free ourselves from worry, we have to think about the right kind of things. Isaiah 26:3 reminds us, you will keep in perfect peace when our minds are steadfast and stayed on you. Thoughts are powerful. Maybe you've heard the story, but I'll tell it again twice as nice. It's not bad. An elderly woman was so worried about the crime in her neighborhood, she began to carry a gun. After days of shopping, she returned to her car and found four men sitting in her car. She immediately dropped her shopping bags and drew out her gun. She warned the bandits. She knew how to use the gun and was not afraid to use it. The four men hurried out of the car, running for their lives, whereupon the lady began to load her shopping bags into the back seat of her car. Then she got in the driver's seat and made a startling discovery. Her key wouldn't turn in the ignition. And someone said, "That's your car over there. You have gotten in the wrong car." Terribly embarrassed, she loaded her bags into the car, and then she looked for any sign of the four men that she had threatened. Not finding the men, she drove to the police station to explain her actions. When she arrived at the precinct, she found the four terrified men reporting a carjacking by an angry old woman with a gun. No charges were filed. Wrong thoughts can lead to wrong action, but spiritual thinking leads to peace. Paul told the Corinthian church to take every thought into captivity. When people come with us with stuff, whatsoever thing is true, honest, is it of a good report? Oh my. But sometimes we don't want to take those thoughts into captivity. And that's when worry comes to us. Now, how do we think rightly? We must focus on the pure. We must focus on the holy. We must focus on what is worthy to be praised. What are you thinking about today? What does your mind, where do our minds go through during the day? Do you focus on what is holy or unholy? Are your thoughts pure or impure? Is your conversation praiseworthy, or are they of a critical spirit on our lips? Be careful. Remember, when it comes to worry, we need to be reminded of what God's word says. You who love instruction, have great peace and do not stumble. Psalms 119, 135. When it comes to relieving anxiety, let's take the advice of Paul and think of the right things, and those things are found in God's word. Psalms 119 says, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." It's important to have the right kind of prayer. It's important to think the right thoughts. It is also important to do right living. Right living always relieves anxiety. We know when we read and study the word what we must do, and we should not, as believers, deviate from it. When one is not living in a way that honors God, there's a sense of guilt. But true guilt is essential for living. God uses guilt to influence us to change our minds as believers, change our behavior, thus leading us to repentance. If we never felt guilty about any issue, we would not follow rules or standards. And God has high standards. For this reason, Paul said in verse 9, "Whatever you've learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice, and the God of peace will be with you." It's not enough, my friend, to use the Bible as a basis for praying and claiming promises. The Bible must be a focus of living. We will only have true peace when we have which is the absence of anxiety, when our lifestyles match our convictions, when we put our faith into practice. For each of us, we face a daily battle as Christians. You know I'm right. To live a lifestyle that honors God. Somebody wrote, let a man deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. Each day, Satan whispers to us, you can do it. Go on. Do it. It's just a little sin. Watch that, my friend. What? It's just one sin. What would that hurt? However, one sin will hurt. It will affect our lifestyle. It will alter our thinking. And if we're not careful, it will damage our prayer life. It is for this reason that Paul told his followers, live the right kind of life. A lifestyle that shuns anxiety and a life that's focused on what Christ thinks rather than what the crowd thinks. Now remember Peter, bold, brash Peter. One night before Jesus was crucified, Peter pledged his allegiance to Jesus. He said, if everyone else fails and falls away, I will not. I will still be here for you. However, it is written that in the course of 12 hours, Peter had denied him 3 times and had deserted him in his hour of need. His boldness turned to denial, and his denial turned into anxiety. How would he ever face Jesus again? Yet we have the record. 30 years after that incident, Peter wrote, cast all your cares upon him, for he cares for you. Don't be anxious about anything, but by prayer and supplication, let it be known to God, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will keep your hearts and mind. But what made the difference? It's the resurrection of Christ. When the Spirit of God raises up within us, something happens. We go to this, whatsoever things are true, whatever things are noble and honest and right, we think on these things. Well, when everything seems out of control this year, when nothing makes sense, when all our hopes are dashed, when it seems like life is a total failure, when all we can do is worry, the resurrection of Christ will save us, and it will serve as a constant reminder that God is in control of everything. God is not anxious. God is not worried. God is in control. Let us not try to control our lives today or any day of this year. We have concerns. We don't call them worried, but we do have some concerns that are stealing our joy. Are you worried about anything? Hope not. Let your requests be known, be made known unto God, and the peace that passes all understanding will be yours. Let us not worry about anything. Whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, think on these things. Happy Sabbath.